here, right? All right. I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's Board of Ed meeting. I see that our high school representative is here, so come on down.
So DECA had its meeting last Thursday, and we also had a full student government meeting, and we discussed about themes for homecoming, and this year's theme is like reality show games, like game shows, and we had our SAT this Saturday, and we successfully implemented that, and tonight is the Marching Band Festival at Hofstra, and we're getting ready for the pep rally and homecoming, which is October 22nd, and also there's engineering awareness, and next week is Senior Spirit Week, and I'll discuss the details next week. All right.
Thank you. Do we have any board announcements?
Last week I attended the research symposium where I saw many students present, not naming names. As usual, the projects were incredibly impressive. Among one of the science projects was sort of a full-service bathroom. There was a student whose brother has cerebral palsy, so he designed this bathroom so his brother could be more independent. So, I mean, it was an amazing project and obviously had a lot of utility. People were doing research on breast cancer. Some of the social science projects, one was on what are the most effective kinds of anti-smoking advertisements, and pointing out that the scarier ones that show, you know, for example, somebody with a hole in his throat from lung cancer would not necessarily be as effective as some more positive types. So all kinds of, you know, just, excuse me?
I took that survey.
Yes, so did I. So anyway, it was, once again, our kids are incredibly impressive, and, you know, it's a phenomenal program, and it was a packed house in there. There are so many kids doing research in this district, which is phenomenal, and, you know, they were really attentive to what the other kids were saying. And you had older students talking about the value they'd gotten out of research. And obviously, no other speaker is going to be as interesting to a high school student as another high school student. So, you know, it was an effective way to present that message. So, anyway, it was a very valuable and informative evening.
Yeah. A lot of you probably saw yesterday the front page of Newsday about Yik Yak. We're very fortunate in our district that we had a fence put around just not our middle school and high school, but also each of our elementary buildings. Most people don't realize that a lot of our elementary kids are into this stuff. And as parents, you have an obligation to see if your kid has a cell phone, what they're on. There's a site called Whisper, if your kid has it, and that's something that's very similar to Yik Yak. It has a geographical area. Kids can talk to strangers. Most of the strangers they're talking to are pedophiles. Kik. It sends pictures to be sent without being logged in, and a lot of this is being used for sexting. And strangers send friend requests, and kids are naive. They don't know what they're doing, but they're answering that request, and a lot of them are from outside of this country. There's another one called Vine, and it posts six second videos, but many of those videos, porn videos, pop in between, and that's what your kids are being exposed to. There was a site, and I think it's going to be taken down, or it is down, called Puff. And a kid has that app, and what that app does, it hides every app they have from their parents. Parents can't find it. And there are many, many more out there. You've got to talk to your kids about it. And children shouldn't have secret passwords from you. You have to know their passwords. But this is real serious stuff. This is predators. You don't want strangers in your house, and you have let everybody in the world in your house. And when I talk to kids, I always say to them, going on the internet is like going out on Halloween. Everyone's face is hidden. You don't know to whom you're speaking. So people's antennas were up yesterday. This is going on. Evie was with me last week. We were doing a school in Farmingdale. how many fourth and fifth grade kids told us that they are on sites that their parents don't know, they have their own private password, your kids have a secret life, you have an obligation. A cell phone should be a privilege, just not something that kids have to go on. There's too many sick people out there. My public service announcement.
Last week, the New York State United Teachers filed a lawsuit against against the State Education Department over what they refer to as the gag order, which, for those that don't know, for teachers that grade the testing are required to sign a confidentiality agreement that they won't discuss the test, essentially. Last September, September 30th, we passed a resolution. And as part of that resolution, we called on the governor, the Commissioner King, the state legislature, and the Board of Regents to allow public school districts' personnel to examine the math and ELA tests and answer keys and their students' responses to those assessments so that the students' educators can obtain a comprehensive understanding of the new Common Core assessments and fully align curriculum with the Common Core standards. Now, I think it's important for us to take a look at what that lawsuit says, first and foremost. Obviously, it gets filed to take a look at it. But to the extent it is in line, or it's an opportunity for us, consistent with the resolution, to support that lawsuit in some way, that perhaps maybe we have a discussion about whether we need to file either collectively with other school districts that have passed similar resolutions, or even our own to support that. It may be that there are different reasons why we are, you know, against that agreement than what's in the lawsuit. But one of the things that we're always consistent about is, you know, there is and there can be a value to tests. But if you don't get the data, if you don't know, if it's not going to help the teachers to educate the students, then what's the value with it? And so I think it's important for us to take a look at this, and I would certainly look forward to in a future board meeting to having a discussion about what steps we can take other than simply passing a resolution to engage in addressing this issue.
I was going to say, I think we're up for it. Anyone else have any board announcements? I have one. I went to the DECA installation over at the high school. The kids did a great job, all the DECA supervisors. You know, it's a wonderful club. It's really run well. And I think one of the themes I kept hearing was the experience that our kids get through DECA and other things as well of public speaking and presenting in front of other people and having stuff being peer-reviewed as well as teacher-reviewed. Even when the Ashley Glass came back from college to talk about it, and she spoke about how she thinks it's given her a clear leg up and an advantage versus the other kids who she's in college with. And when I talk to my son who's been through DECA and other kids, it's one of the things that's, you know, a valuable opportunity that we give our students that I'm very happy DECA does it. I know they have in other ways they can get it, but it's really that ability to present and speak in public is a skill that you can't learn any other way but doing it, and it's great that we give our kids the opportunity to do it. So congratulations to everyone in DECA. I'm sure they're going to have a great year. Superintendent?
I'll be brief because you've already taken all my lines. Since I was at research and at DECA, and amazing projects, and DECA, of course. So I always love to see the students. DECA to create an official school tie because, you know, as part of branding, but also it just really, it's just a part of marketing, and they are, I think they're pretty close to bringing it to bear. So we hope that everyone will support it and I think it will be a very good addition for us. We've had a few publicity that we'd like to bring to your attention to. We've been on Fox 5. In fact, Ginger was on Fox 5 yesterday for representing cyberbullying. But we also have been on Fox 5 and a couple of other news channels for the Z Space, which is quite something to behold. And when you see it, the board, we'll probably show it at a board meeting sometime during budget, but it really is a unique event, 3D investigation that we are the first school in the country to, high school in the country, most colleges have it. It's a very new tool that our children have, and we're very proud that that's a part of what we are weaving into the curriculum. On another note, I just wanted to say that we've had a couple of incidents in the kindergarten center, some isolated incidents with lice. We do have a procedure that I wanted to officially speak to, because I think there's some misunderstanding because of past practice with the lice that we do not go through each child's hair. You know, in the past, we used to have the nurse check each child. That's no longer a protocol by New York State. We do send a letter home to the children in the class, letting them know and identifying steps that they can take to address the lice. We also do not send the children home. That's the state has been very clear. You don't send them home for fever. You don't. It's or they feel that you don't do that. You call the parent. You let them know, but it's not mandated that you separate the child from school. So it's important that we know that, and know that we are following Nassau County Department's guidelines and state guidelines when we do that. We're not doing it in isolation. There's also, you know, as you listen to the news, Ebola, there's so many things floating around. I just want you to know that our safety plan does address endemic diseases. You know, remember when we had MRSA, we have a plan for that. We have, when we had, I'm trying to remember the, the flu, bird flu, you know, they're all, we have a process in place, and it involves connecting with Nassau County's health department and also the BOCES service. And Nadine Earing, as part of her responsibility, is part of safety. She does spearhead that. And we do have that plan in place that we would follow, and we receive guidelines. Now, I noticed that Southampton had a case of the enterovirus, and they closed the school down. That's not what Nassau County is telling us to do. We do have cleaning procedures that we must go through once any of these viruses surface, whether it's bird flu or whatever. But there are procedures in place and practices that we follow. And we do have a plan. The safety plan does address it. So I just wanted to assure everyone. But most important, I know the lice is on everybody's mind. That we do, it's a change in past practice, but that doesn't mean that we don't have a procedure in place. Thank you.
Item on the agenda: bond resolution. Now, do we read the bond resolution now and then we pass it later? Is what it is, because it's also under new business.
Right. This is public.
So, do we? I'm just trying to clarify because it's in two places.
Right.
Do we vote on it now, or do we just read it now and then we vote on it as part of new business? Because so we'll just read off what it is, and okay.
And their copies,
yep.
Their copies on the table.
Would anyone like to read the resolution?
I live for it.
Resolution of the Plainfield Bethpage Central School District, New York, adopted October 14, 2014, calling a special district meeting to authorize the expenditure of monies for school purposes and the levy of a tax, therefore. Resolved by the Board of Education of the Plainfield Bethpage Central School District in the County of Nassau, New York, as follows. Section 1, a special district meeting of the qualified voters of the Plainfield Bethpage Central School District in the County of Nassau, New York, the district, shall be held within the district on Tuesday, December 9th, 2014 at 6 o'clock a.m. prevailing time at the following places. 1, the Jamaica Avenue School for those persons residing in Election District Number 1. 2, the Plainfield Bethpage Middle School for those persons residing in Election District Number 2. And 3, the Old Bethpage School for those persons residing in Election District number 3, as provided in the notice calling said special district meeting hereinafter prescribed. The voting at such special district meeting shall be by a voting machine as provided by the election law, and the polls shall remain open from 6 o'clock a.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. prevailing time on said day, and as much longer as may be necessary to enable the voters then present to cast their votes. Section 2, the business to be acted upon at said special district meeting shall be as stated in the notice thereof, and the district clerk is hereby authorized and directed to cause the notice of said special district meeting to be published in Newsday and the Plainview Herald, two newspapers having a general circulation within the district, such publications to be made 4 times within the 7 weeks next preceding such special district meeting, the first publications to be at least 45 days prior to the date of said special district meeting. Section 3, said notice of special district meeting shall be substantially in the following form. Keep going. Notice of special district meeting of the Plainville-Bethpage Central School District in the County of Nassau, New York. Notice is hereby given that pursuant to a resolution of the Board of Education, the Plainville-Bethpage Central School District in the County of Nassau, New York, adopted on October 14, 2014, a special district meeting of the qualified voters of said school district will be held on Tuesday, December 9, 2014, from 6 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., prevailing time at the following voting places. 1, the Jamaica Avenue School for those persons residing in Election District Number 1, 2, the Plainville-Bethpage Middle School for those persons residing in Election District Number 2, and 3, the Old Bethpage School for those persons residing in Election District Number 3, for the purpose of voting upon the following bond proposition. Here we go. Bond proposition. Resolved, A, that the Board of Education of the Plainville-Bethpage Central School District in the County of Nassau, New York, the district is hereby authorized to construct alterations and improvements to various district buildings and or sites. The project substantially as described in a report entitled 2014 Bond Referendum, prepared by the district with the assistance of Burton, Berend, and Smith Architects, the report, which report is on file and available for public inspection at the office of the district clerk, including the replacement of windows, roofs, doors, skylights, ceilings, and floors, interior and exterior reconstruction and space reconfiguration to provide for new and or enhanced classroom, science, art, and other space, improvements to the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, electrical, plumbing, lighting, safety, security, and public address systems, improvements to enhance accessibility to the physically challenged, technology infrastructure and auditorium improvements, site parking, sidewalk, building envelope, masonry and bus loop improvements, and athletic and recreation improvements, including field reconstruction and or replacements and the replacement of tennis courts. All of the foregoing to include all furnishings, equipment, machinery, apparatus, and ancillary and related site demolition and other work required in connection therewith, and to expend therefore, including preliminary costs and cost incidental thereto and to the financing thereof, an amount not to exceed the estimated total cost of $49,816,257, provided that the cost of the components of the project as set forth in the report may be reallocated among such components if the Board of Education shall determine that such reallocation is in the best interest of the district. B, that a tax is hereby voted, therefore, in the amount of not to exceed $49,816,257, such tax to be levied and collected in installments in such years and in such amounts as shall be determined by said Board of Education, and C, that in anticipation of said tax, the Board of Education is authorized to issue bonds of the district in the principal amount of not to exceed $49,816,250, and a tax is hereby voted to pay the interest on said bonds as the same shall become due and payable.
Report proposal to review closed campus at POB JFK High School. Ms. Damari.
Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. This conversation has been a while in the making, actually. I've been thinking an awful lot about this over the last several years, especially since the district has gone to great lengths to try and increase safety within each of our buildings and our schools. And I've really been thinking about what we could do within our schools that really are right there in front of us, that don't cost anything, and will help our students be a bit safer. We currently have the policy where the ninth grade is not allowed off campus. And by and large, they are on campus. I have to say, I can't say that every single ninth grader abides by that. I would say the greater majority of them do. And a big part of the reason why is because they're so highly programmed. You know, they have very full days, you know, especially with the ninth grade. But I think that we can make our student body even safer by keeping them on campus more. And by closing campus for the 10th grade as well as the 9th grade would support that. The 9th grade currently, of course, since they don't have the ability to go off campus, they wouldn't really necessarily feel like they're losing something by not being able to go off campus the following year, since that's what they've grown accustomed to. I started this conversation last year with my PTA, site-based committee, as well as my building advisory committee. Had many discussions about it. I had no resistance at all. Complete support both from students as well as from parents that I spoke with about it. Of course, the conversation is always, well, how do you are going to ensure that those kids aren't going off campus? And, you know, as I mentioned, sometimes that we find that they do go off campus, and we deal with those infractions, just like we would with any kind of infraction that a student commits. But by and large, they do abide by it. Students right now have the ability in the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade to go off campus if their parents give them the permission to do so. Each student at the start of the school year is denied that privilege until a parent signs their little card and sends it back to the school, giving them access. I can't say that the majority of parents give them the access. Some do, some do not. But if they don't return anything, then it's an automatic that they don't have that ability. So when students do go off campus and they're found off campus, that's a conversation that we have with them as well as with their parents. If we look at accommodations, you know, whether or not we'd be able to accommodate that number of students in our school. Right now, we have our largest freshman class. We are at 438 students. Kind of hoping that number does decrease over the years, because I'm already thinking about graduation and accommodating them at the Tilley Center. But that's a whole other conversation.
But only because they moved someplace fabulous, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. We're thinking about your backyard. just kidding. So anyway, as of right now, we have 438 students in the 9th grade, and we have 349 students in the 10th grade. The following year, of course, those 438 students, let's just say that stays the same, will become sophomores. The incoming 9th grade class is right now 372 students. So we have a difference, really, in total of 23 students in total. We've already purchased additional furniture and received them for the cafeteria. We are right now accommodating more students than ever. Four tables just arrived in the library this past week and for our library loft, and students are using the library more so than ever. So both of those areas of our building, I think, can very well accommodate that, this increase in population we're using, which I think is minimal, the cafeteria as well as the library. If we look at the number of students that are available in the 10th grade right now who are unscheduled or have lunch from periods 1 through 6 during the day, I shouldn't say that, 1 through 8, yeah, 1 through 8, the highest number of students is 36. 36 students from the 10th grade using either the cafeteria and or the library. And the lowest number that we have in period 8 is just 8 students from the 10th grade. Using numbers like this, and we've also used numbers from the prior years as well, it's pretty consistent, to be honest with you, from the 10th grade, the number of students that are in that 10th grade that are using either the library or cafeteria. When I speak, by the way, about lunch periods are unscheduled, I'm referring to like periods 1 and 2 that, although the cafeteria is open, we're not serving lunch then. I don't necessarily consider it a lunch period. So a 10th grader could very well be off period 1 and then be off again for period 5, for example, for their lunch period. It might be the same student. It might not be. So I would hope to have your support with this proposal. And, of course, if I do so, then I will continue this conversation throughout the year with our students as well as our parents so everybody is fully on board. I would ideally like to be able to close it for the 11th grade as well for the following year. And by the way, my proposal is not for this year, obviously. It's for the 2015-2016 school year. The proposal would continue for this 2016-2017 school year for the 11th grade. I don't have the intentions at this point in time for closing it for the senior class. I've had numerous conversations with Dr. Lewis about that, and we'd like to be able to still keep that as a senior privilege. Plus, I don't think I'd be able to accommodate them, to be honest with you. And even now, at this point in time, I'm not proposing it for the junior class because I really need to verify my numbers carefully to make sure that if I do propose it, that I can do it.
Thank you, Jim. I think a report like this, I think, makes us all feel good that we had decided then to air condition the high school cafeteria in the bond, and hopefully that will occur. So I think it was a very, very good decision that was made. I'd like to ask you, as far as other school districts, could you tell us who else has closed their campus for 10th graders, just so we have a sense of how other districts have moved in this area?
I believe, if I remember correctly, Comac does, but I think Comac is throughout. A lot of school districts, I don't have the names of the schools with me, but I can definitely get that for you if you'd like. I think a lot of school districts do this stuff being reactive. You know, when there is an accident, something, you know, a tragedy that takes place that causes that to happen. And I think with us, we're being proactive. You know, we're trying to do our best to keep our students on campus, and who knows, maybe they'll use that time period for, you know, to enjoy their lunch period, do constructive things, studying, relaxing, and or take a class if they have more than one free period.
Thank you. I don't have a question. I just want to applaud you. I know it might be a difficult situation in speaking with some students who perhaps would like to have the open campus remain. I've never been in favor of the open campus. I think that this is a great way of further protecting our students. And I have mixed feelings about the senior. I can kind of make the argument both ways, but I think it's also take small steps, do the 10th grade, see how that works, see, you know, that you can accommodate, but I applaud you for being proactive.
You know, when you think about it, if you can't accommodate them, then you can't. If you can't accommodate having the seniors in there, then that really kind of answers your question on it, you know, space-wise.
First of all, thank you. It's long overdue. How is your room utilization? Do you have any rooms that are not being used?
No, none.
None.
We are at max capacity of our room usage. And, you know, I'll be presenting to you the futuring phase, three or four, coming up soon. And, you know, anytime that we add additional elective courses to it, we have to find space for them. They don't always replace another course. So it does make it very difficult. But
Would you consider using the, like, LGI if no activities are going on? Obviously, it'd have to be supervised and stuff. The kids do just sit there, not eat in there, but just sit there, maybe dialogue with each other, what have you, just to try to find some more outreach in the building.
Absolutely. You know, converting in the library right now, that little artifacts museum that we're not utilizing for that purpose anymore, and creating a little a mini computer lab for students who have that free period and want to go in and, you know, do some homework or do whatever they, you know, would like to do. You know, I shouldn't say whatever. appropriate things, of course, on the computers in school. Creating additional spaces like that, I think, is really very helpful.
Thank you. I think that the suggestion, I like the way that you're going to do one grade level at a time. So if you run into a glitch with the 10th grade kids, then we can fix it. And there's no time frame. If it misses a year, it misses a year.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you as well. I think it's a great proposal that I would strongly support for the students' safety. And I have one question for you.
Sure.
36 isn't a lot of kids. I'm wondering if you ran it by Whitson's, the school lunch people, and they thought that they could handle
that. They definitely
that.
Would applaud it. You know,
well, it's more money, but can they handle the load and still get them out, you know? Like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have actually had the conversation with them, and they are very excited about being able to make that happen because I know they're struggling.
Thanks.
I'm just sort of trying to imagine what it would be like. Are there any concerns about when it's a closed campus, I don't know, potential disciplinary issues because you have more kids kind of stuck together in a room? I mean, does that tend to come up or...
It doesn't. I don't think it does because it's those additional students. If I look at those additional 36, they're spread throughout the day. And that's just assuming that they're all going to take advantage of that free time period and not take an additional course, you know. So they very well may do that. But we really do have minimal problems in the cafeteria. And even as with having such a large freshman class this year, you know, right now our population is really at a high. And... And there haven't been those kind of problems.
Very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. My pleasure.
Next, we have a technology update.
Good evening. I thought it would be appropriate just to start with a little video of something that transpired last week. It's one of our sixth grade science teachers. They had a Google Hangouts with the New York Hall of Science. And this is a video conference with a unit on chemistry, and it's the phases of matter. And just a couple of seconds. This was a phone video. Just want you to just get a taste of what our technology is supporting.
Okay. So... this is exactly what happened. That's a great start. So, inside, remember, we went from a hot environment to a cold environment. This was ice and water inside here. Those molecules inside that can are starting to come closer together. Now, there was a rubber stopper. The can that crushed a lot more, that rubber stopper prevented water from rushing inside. There's usually a high pressure outside, low pressure inside. High pressure tends to go towards low pressure. And so there's no...
I'd like to begin by thanking the Board of Education, the Superintendent of Schools. We've been through many, many strategic upgrades over the years, from financial management systems to student management systems, library automation systems, going from Corel to Word. A lot of changes. And this change, like the others, was a major change that needed to take place for the reasons I'm going to go over during the presentation. And it could not have happened without your support and the support of our team and the clericals that I work with every day. So I want to start off by why the upgrade. Last year was a great needs assessment year where we had a technology visioning committee where we were looking forward for the next 5 to 10 years and what would we would require to make our teaching and learning environments come up to the plate for 21st century skills and learning. In the interim of that, we also had an independent, non-biased technology review and audit firm come into the district to give us a real picture of what they thought our major issues were now. So Technology Visioning Committee looking to the future and taking a look at where we are and where we need to go, and then what do we snapshot was the technology review audit. And also a district-wide qualitative needs assessment, which we perform every year in preparation for our budget. The issue from our independent technology audit clearly identified our issues. Main issue was endpoints. Specifically the processor and memory of the devices that we had in districts, computers. The good news was they identified that our network itself, our network infrastructure, was well-designed and well-performing. They tested it from edge to edge, edge to core, and it was operating within 1 millisecond across the district. So that's what took us to, well, we need to develop a plan on how to upgrade these endpoints, these computers. In addition to that, Microsoft XP became extinct for support. no more support from Microsoft. Part of our qualitative needs assessment, slow log-on times impacting teachers going logging into computers, poor performance. The video conference I just showed you last year when we were doing it was a lot more difficult. There was a lot more latency because of the computers. And this all had a negative impact on teaching and learning environments and our administrators' productivity. So the scope of the project was identifying the computers requiring an upgrade. So we didn't just want to say, well, this will replace every computer in the district. Which computers needed to be replaced and which ones had so little life left in them for another budget. We identified software to test for operating system compatibility to find out what direction we should go in. Once we had that information and that data, the key was how are we going to pay for it. So we negotiated a lease purchase plan to address not only the hardware and the software, but also the staff development needs of the district. One of the key variables to this implementation was forging a strategic partnership with Microsoft executives and engineers. Before we even started, we met with 6 key Microsoft engineers and executives here at the district to review our options to see which way was the best path to go for the district. Once we had that set up, before the end of the school year, we communicated the project details to the entire staff through a direct email via myself, through different presentations, and a frequently asked question that came out of the needs assessment. That was part of, if I'm a middle school teacher, what's going to happen? And if I'm an elementary school teacher, what's going to happen? And that also resides on the website. After that, we developed an implementation plan and schedule. It was quite a challenge so we had 2 months, which equates, after you take the 4th of July out, 43 business days to do this implementation. So that was, we had to be very strategic with that and plan that precisely to get it done for September. And that was working around summer school, Camp Apollo, and also it's like literally flying the plane, rebuilding the plane while you're flying it, in respect that we had to keep our administrators productive on the computers while we're replacing the computers and keep summer school operational. Then we proceeded to create purchase orders, take delivery, inventory the computers, asset tag them, and then decommission the obsolete computers. So what we accomplished in the end is we purchased and installed 1,041 new computers. We upgraded the existing computers in the district. We imaged and networked the district-wide computers with, that's the new and the existing, with the Windows 8.1 and the upgraded software. We upgraded our district-wide server infrastructure. We implemented Microsoft antivirus. We replaced McAfee with Microsoft's solution. We implemented a Microsoft System Center. We had done pieces of it, but with the new operating system, we were able to really take advantage of Microsoft System Center and Microsoft's desktop, they call it MDOP, Desktop Optimization Package, which is very helpful in servicing the computers and implementing the computers. We upgraded our print servers. We virtualized 23 physical servers. We completed the Wi-Fi project from last year at the middle schools. We completed the design for the elementary schools, and that's completion date is 2015 to have ubiquitous wireless in every elementary school. We upgraded our storage area network to accommodate our storage needs, to open up. We had issues from our qualitative needs assessment with mailbox storage or file storage. So we future-proofed ourselves for a couple of years with that. We implemented Microsoft email archiving, and this is all in those 43 days I was telling you about. And this is really interesting. We implemented a pilot for a solution called Launchpad. Over the last few years, we've had remote access for our administrators using Citrix. Citrix is one of the solutions in the district. For if you're home and you want to access your files, you would use Citrix to get into the district. This solution called Launchpad takes remote access to another level. We forged a partnership with Launchpad to pilot this for free. We set everything up over the summer on our servers, providing access to our administrators. We sent that out to them, and this is not only going to give access, if this pilot is successful, this will give access to every teacher who wants remote access and every student in the district. And this is big for any BYOD implementations that we're doing and future tablet one-to-one implementations. This is the foundation that will support that, because not only is it remote file access, it's single sign-on, where there are many applications where students could just use this one app to sign into all their other apps. They subscribe to it. And it also has a learning management system built into it where teachers could communicate with students. It's very robust. So professional development, as we were implementing, we were building the plane as we were flying it, we had summer staff here, staff members, who worked well with us. And we tell them, take a look at this. Give us your feedback. And we would customize based on their requests. And as they went through our implementation of Microsoft 8.1. And the beauty of 8.1 is that we emulated the navigation features of what they were used to, XP and 7. So basically, they were booting to the desktops, and all those Metro tiles that are on the tablets are away from them. When they log into the computer, they get right to the desktop as they did before. And we also emulated the environment they were in prior with Windows XP and 7, where all the icons of the software that they had previously is on the desktop when they log in. We developed a professional development plan that was also in the FAQs and support resources. The final FAQ was sent to the entire staff before the beginning of school. I provided an orientation into the system on opening day. I was on battery backup power for most of it, as you recall, those of you who were there. Provided on-site BOCES model schools hands-on training for staff. And the way we work this piece out is we had Microsoft trainers through model schools come into the district, meet with the staff by need. Any staff member who required support came into the lab and got training. In addition to that, our computer aides were trained at this training as turnkey trainers. That's the turnkey training by the computer aides. That's ongoing. We also provided district help desk phone support services, and I thank everybody for the clerical support to do that. We could have not accomplished that without it. Our clericals also have, with the new system, they're able to remote into other clericals' desktops to help them along and assist them with an issue live, and actually someone calls up our office, one of our secretaries could say, okay, let me see the issue, instead of, can you explain that to me again? What's the name of your computer? They put the code into their interface, and they're able to actually watch, if a secretary's having an issue, that watch exactly where their issue is, and then help them get out of that issue. We provided website resources and online tutorials, which are all on the website, of course. And this was a grant from Microsoft that we qualified for with this implementation and the support from our strategic partnership with them, where for the month, was through the summer until the end of September, every staff member in the entire district had access to 24/7 Microsoft application support line. And the premise behind this was Microsoft would not get off the phone until the problem was solved. And I think you've probably heard before, we had some issues with Excel with one of our clericals, where Microsoft actually took the workbook back and identified a glitch in Microsoft themselves, and that was helpful for them in solving that issue. Ongoing qualitative assessment of staff members and student needs and quality control. That's hands-on, side-on, seeing what's really happening inside the classrooms and trying to respond to the teacher's needs. What I typically do at the beginning of every school year is I'm in the buildings, and I always make it a point to try to get to every classroom in the district, which takes, you know, through the year, it takes some time. What I did in this instance, because of this implementation, I needed to really see what people's needs were. I personally have been to every classroom in the entire district since September. Finding out if there's an issue, checking if that Smart Ink is working the way it's supposed to, and to answer any questions the teacher has or computer aides have to support teachers and staff members. Ongoing supplemental BOCES model schools support. This was all part of our lease purchase agreement. We have ongoing days, and we're responding to needs. The next round is specifically targeting clericals. We're calling it desk side support, where Microsoft BOCES trainer will come in and sit with clericals individually to respond to personal needs. I find this type of training works is a good alternative to group training, because you're really covering a specific purpose for one or two, for a small group and or one person. And you some people in a group are shy asking questions. This takes that away, and we can really get to the root of their issues and solve them. So what we discovered, we completed the installation imaging of all computers. Imaging is basically installing the software with the proper, I'll just leave it at that, installing the software. We have over 7,000 user accounts in the district. These are home directories. Think of that as the real estate on our servers where everyone saves their files to. Out of the over 7,000 home directories, we had reports that 17 users couldn't find their files. And those were misdirected files for a couple of different reasons. Some of the reasons were it was a maiden name, and we were looking at the other name when we were doing the migration. Out of those 17, out of the 7,000, out of the 17 that we were misdirected, we were able to direct all of them except for one where there was a glitch with saving files. Software fine-tuning, it's ongoing. When we did our tests, we had teachers test different software, we had staff members test this different software, but until everyone's in their full mode of back to teaching, that's when you discover like little idiosyncrasies with the software. We come in, fine to it. It's, for example, Smart Ink worked in Smart Notebook, but initially Smart Ink did not work out of Smart Notebook. So that's a layer. And we had to figure out why, and then we fix it, respond to that. The Wyatt had licensing issues where we had to rekey the license codes, and that's the fine tuning piece. We had to look at different printers, drivers, scanners, small boards, projectors, and respond to any fine tuning we need to do for that. Results moving forward, what's the end result is, I'm so proud of the district. I mean, what used to take minutes for staff to log in takes seconds. It's incredible. And what that means for motivation for teachers and students and for our staff is incredible. That's come a long way with that. And that's due to the smaller footprint of the 8.1 OS. Microsoft really optimized that. It enhanced the user experience. There's more customization now. Our staff is able to set their own resolution settings. My eyes are going over the years, and maybe I want things a little bigger instead of smaller, so I have that flexibility to do that as a user on our network. The impact is a positive impact. This all equates to a positive impact on teaching and learning environments. I try to demonstrate that in the video at the beginning of this presentation. We have an enhanced security, Internet Explorer 10, that's their latest, most secure browser. Of course, we have Google Chrome. And of course, some things work in Chrome better than Internet Explorer, and that's just the nature of browsers and the way software developers customize their applications to that. And we have enhanced support in work order management. I mentioned the remote service we're able to do with the system, and that's the report. Any questions?
Seth?
First, I want to thank you for the report and for helping to move the technology and keeping pace with the changing, I guess technology changes now in a matter of seconds these days as opposed to to months or years. But I did have two questions. One is, you had mentioned that in the report that you virtualized 23 physical servers.
Yes.
When we talk about virtualizing servers, are we talking about using cloud storage?
We're talking about taking what could be 23 hardware physical servers and we use Citrix Xen server, and then you could take six physical servers and virtualize them to one physical server.
I guess my question is, when you say virtualize them into it, I mean, are we not physically keeping that data then?
The data is here inside the district on using virtualization. So picture six boxes. You take those six boxes, using virtualization software, you consolidate them to one box. So why would we want to do that? There's use less electricity. That's one of the main reasons. It's consolidation. It's freeing up rack space in our server room and making things more manageable.
When we do that, there's obviously safety, security protocols to make sure that as we're redirecting that data to this one place, that there's no concerns in terms of, other access points for, loss of information or even breaches, right? I mean,
everything is inside our district. In this scenario with virtualization, nothing is outside the district. It's all inside a district behind our firewall. We're just moving that data from six boxes, as an example, to one box.
The other question I had was, you had listed that there was 1,041 new computers that were installed. Do we know how many other computers there are and what the plan is? Obviously, there's a certain lifespan of a computer, and every year we kind of replace. How many other computers are out there, and what's the plan going forward in terms of having to replace?
There's over
the desktops,
over 500 desktops. We had purchased desktops the year before for computer labs and classrooms, and they have. You would hope you could refresh every 3 years. That's a good life cycle for a computer, but sometimes you could get more time out of that if budget is restricting purchases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Yes. I'd be happy to. Currently, based on one of the board goals, is we're exploring the possibility for a middle school one-to-one. So what we've done to begin that exploration is we have a team of middle school. We have two middle school principals on board with teachers selected on that team, where we're looking at different solutions. The team is very motivated in looking at what's out there now that would meet the needs of the teacher. And when we're looking at a one-to-one initiative, we're looking at something that's going to take us to a place beyond where we are now. And that's not just doing what we're doing with the technology and just replicating old practices. It's taking us to a transformational level, doing things inside the classroom that we would not be able to do with technology. And we have two vendors coming in, actually, on Monday, meeting with our team, with their curriculum specialists, because all of this is nothing without curriculum. The curriculum has to always lead the technology in respect that what are we going to do with, what do you do with these devices? So very excited about that. We have a great team that's exploring those possibilities.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if, as part of sort of envisioning future projects, in terms of special needs, because the impression I get is things are moving away from, say, software to apps. Is there specific exploration of what's out there in terms of programs and assistive technology?
Yes, in fact, I could give you a good example of, I mentioned before, one of our issues was with the Wyatt software used for special education. That's a good example. It's an old software, old programming code.
This for the intelligence testing stuff?
This is what special education teachers use to work with the special education students for IEPs. And so on that, looking at the options, Ellie Becker and myself looking at the options for exactly, is there an app that does this that'll give the teachers more access and be less issues with license codes and maintaining? That's one example there. There are apps with the tablets that we're looking at. The vendors are reviewing the different applications that are part of those packages, because these aren't just devices. This is a learning, a package that comes with curriculum-related apps aligned with our curriculum, and that's absolutely where we're taking it, in that direction.
Thank you, Guy. First, I'd like to commend you. That was no small task that you accomplished over the summer, hardware and software. I have a question related to what Seth had asked about storage. So we're not using the cloud. Is that a security reason that we decided not to keep our data on the cloud, or is it?
So when I was talking about virtualization of servers, we're talking about the servers, the operating, the servers that run the Destruct, in that respect. Launchpad, that application I was telling you about before, that remote access, has cloud storage built into that, kind of a Google Docs, without all the legal ramifications that come with Google Docs, where they're scanning student files and right. All those different, as you saw in the newspapers with Google. So it's a secure environment. Any cloud-based services we go to, we have to make sure that it's, you know, nothing comes for free sometimes. You've heard that before. Right. There's always something, and Google proved that. They were scanning student home directories in the cloud, and they were profiling them with advertising. What we would do is have a secure environment like that, and Launchpad is one example of that.
So Launchpad is like Google Apps and Google Drive and
yes,
all that?
Yes, it has, exactly.
Okay.
With remote access to their home directories within the district, too, in addition to that. So anything that any assignments they're working on in the district on our internal storage, they can also access that through Launchpad.
Right. Okay. And the one-to-one initiative, I know you mentioned middle school. Did we look at any other, BYOD, tablet, one-to-one initiatives, like in the high school? Because when I was at the convention, I saw some from other districts, and one that interested me was a high school-based one that was teacher-driven, where the teachers proposed a project based on curriculum, And, you know, they were given tablets for their classroom based on that project. And, you know, it was more teacher-driven than, say, giving it to a whole grade and then, you know, giving the teachers the curriculum. The teachers developed the curriculum, and then they got the laptops per classroom kind of a thing. I don't know if you've looked at that at all or...
We're reviewing, Chris, John, and myself and the team are reviewing all the different options that are out there so we can find the best one that suits the needs for our district.
Okay, thank you.
It's a great question. That's our challenge 24/7. It's a major challenge for our district as well as businesses. I'm sure you heard in the news last week, Chase Manhattan Bank was hacked. IRS, FBI, there are people out there who are trying to get data into our district. To answer your question on security, we had an audit 2-3 years ago where we did the same, we followed the same methodology we did last year with the audit for the infrastructure, where we had a non-biased company come into the district and hack at us, do an ethical hack on our systems, and provide a report to us, and then give us advice. So we try to take ourselves out of the picture and have independent parties do that, because that's a good thing to do. You know, show me what you can find. So that's one way. We have the latest Cisco firewalls in place, and we work with Cisco directly to maintain that security. We have IPS, which is called intrusion. These are automated systems, intrusion prevention systems that are ongoing, and they're automated to shut down potential hacks recognize hacking activity. That's on the firewall side. On the student safety side, we have an obligation to the parents and the community in this district is to protect the students. And that's not an easy task, because you have thousands and thousands of websites out there, and you don't want to block everything. You know, you don't want to have the impression that, well, what am I going to use a computer here if everything I'm going to go to is blocked? So we custom tailor our filters, and we break it up into groups. There's a high school filter, which is less restricted than it would be, for example, for elementary filter. We have high school students that have to research controversial issues, and so they're more open than an elementary filter. And the way the filter recognizes who those students are is when they authenticate to our servers and our networks using their username and password. So if I'm in kindergarten and I put in my username and password, well, let me use first grade, second grade as an example. Say they're doing a research project in the computer lab at Parkway Elementary School. They put their username and password into the computer. The filter now knows they're a second grader at Parkway Elementary School. And then it directs them to the proper filtering. And of course, that's going to be a tighter filter than it would be for a high school student that would log in. Our staff, we try to keep those filters, that's teachers and all staff, in the most open filter possible. And everything follows Child Internet Protection Act guidelines. And that's important, of course, to protect the students, but also that's a federal mandate that we have to provide filtering to receive funding from the federal government for our internet access and telecommunication services.
First of all, compliments. No small job, you know, updating in a 7-week period all these machines, and I'm sure there were various different hiccups along the way, but it seems like we've gotten through them. And thanks to everyone, you guys for fixing up, but the staff as well for putting up there with the patience. I'm sure some people were a little frustrated, but we've gotten to the point where I can't believe how fast the logins are, and that's great, and I hope that that holds through. But I want to tap on the discussion we had before, because I know I will send an email with an attachment on something interesting on an educational site or another site I found to people within the district, and it's blocked. And when you talk about that we have filters that are open, I'm just not seeing the rubber meeting the road on that one. You know, it seems to me that the staff is very blocked, and certain they can't access a lot of things that I don't understand why they can't. I understand you've got to create the balance of the two, but in some regards, the genie's out of the bottle. Everyone's got a smartphone. Everyone can get to everything. And I think if we're preventing people from actually looking at things that are legitimate because we're scared of the internet boogeyman, and I know that's a term I don't want to oversimplify, but I just hear complaints all the time. I can't open this. I can't get to this. I can't see this. And I know I send attachments, which are perfectly harmless. So I just, if we're going to have Wi-Fi and BYOD that's going to be effective, it can't be that people get stopped at every turn they have trying to access the information they want to get to. And I don't think we found the balance that's working. And I understand the need for protection, but when I hear from teachers they can't get on a certain site, or just simple things where a superintendent has sent something for another superintendent to look up and it gets blocked and you can't open it, it doesn't seem like it's there. So I want the BYOD. I love that we have all this Wi-Fi access, but people aren't going to use it if they feel that it's ineffective. And more so than that, they're just going to use their own devices to get around it. And I'm just very concerned that we've got to make it an experience, that the user experience for someone on Wi-Fi or someone with a device, a tablet for a one-on-one initiative, it's got to work. And, you know, if a tablet's working in Matlin and B house, and the kid goes over to D house, and now he can't log in or the stuff gets lost, I know when I'm in a hotel, as an example, you do your login once, it doesn't matter where in the hotel I am at that point, I stay on. If I go to visit my son at the University of Ohio and I get my login going, or his login, his laptop opens up. He doesn't have to re-log in every time. Now, sometimes you do occasionally have to do it, but for the most part, once it knows it's you and it's your device, you're clean, you're in. And I know even with our devices that we're using right here, when we go from the Jill's office where to out here, oftentimes we all have to re-log in. And that's just, to me, not something that's a 21st century wireless network. What can we do to make that better in the future? Is it something that's being done by design or a technology problem?
No, it's something we need to keep improving, and this board has my commitment to improve it and make it. I mean, my goal is to make technology seamless and as transparent as possible. I agree with you 100%. If technology can't be transparent, then what good is it in that respect if it's going to stop me from communicating or researching? So that's something we will definitely continue working on to improve in the district.
Awesome. And then my next question has to do with devices. We say tablet, but you're looking at more than tablets. You're looking at inexpensive one-on-one devices, correct? Not limited to something that's, as we know it, as a tablet. That, you know, like I look like the Surface is something that's not quite a tablet, not quite a laptop. There's smaller laptops, things like that. So I just want to clarify, we're not necessarily talking about an iPad in every kid's hand.
In what respect?
With the one-to-one initiative. It's not necessarily iPads, correct?
No. No,
it could be another device.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. We're looking at them as instructional tools, and we're looking at systems that were developed specifically for education, for teaching and learning, of course, for curriculum, and for management that could be managed properly and appropriately. So they're working at all times and supported.
Cool. And then just one last thing. I understand we've been looking at a new product, the Z Space. The Z Space.
Yes.
You know, this is the technology that goes beyond, you know, laptops and computers. This is like really cool stuff to be doing in technology. Can you just very briefly give an overview on that? Maybe we'll get to see it ourselves someday as the board for a demonstration.
I'd love to. And I have to tell you, when I first heard about Z Space, I'll be quite honest with you, when I read about it and I saw it on the website, I really didn't believe it myself. And I immediately invited the vendor to the district, and I said, oh, he says, oh, good, well, I'll come over, I'll tell you about it. I said, no, bring it here, bring it to the district. And he brought it into my office, the unit with the imaging display, And the software, he set it all up. And I have to tell you, it's one of the most extraordinary technologies I've seen in my career. The best way I could describe it is it's a fusion of virtual reality and 3D imaging using a technology where, and I'll give you an example, you do wear glasses. The students wear glasses. They look at this display, and with the software they develop, they can dissect a heart, a human heart, with the pointers and with the glasses on, feel the heart beat inside their hand. And actually, when they're looking at display, think of virtual reality. It's right in front of them. They could turn it, open it up, go to different sections of the heart. And you have to see it to believe it. So we will have to bring it in.
That's just an example of some of the real exciting cutting edge stuff you're doing, Guy.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That's really great. And thank you for... Yeah,
one other question, which this may not be actually the right place to ask this, but I've been wondering, something that's come up, and I know this mostly because my kid is doing research, some of the databases that we don't have access to, I'm not sure whether that's an issue for you or...
Research databases?
Yeah, like JSTOR, for example.
So the librarians
would be the
able
people
to provide
bring
them with their access.
My understanding. I gather there's some sort of fee. All right, maybe it's something I should. Right.
When you take a package for the library, it has identified databases. I know that we have a new librarian who is in charge of all the libraries and has done a remarkable job so far in connecting with POB, the Plainview Public Library, and in wherever possible, merging databases so that we can make it more effective. So if there's a database that a child needs and we are able to include that in our package, we certainly will explore that. So it's just a matter of the research person letting the child identify the database and seeing if we can possibly put that into the package. But there really is no limitation.
Anyone else? Guy, great job. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
And one more report. Chris, you've got the summer school report. Mrs. Donnarumma.
Just to clarify, it's the sort of the biggest humanities repository. The problem, JSTOR, JSTOR, and it's most of the academic journals in humanities. I mean, my field's English. That's how I know about it. And it's a huge one. Yeah, and it tends to be university libraries tend to have it.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I want to just thank you for the opportunity to present the summer school report for 2014. Hard to believe this is my third year leading the summer school program. You know, before I begin, I just want to point out some of the things that we continue to do this year that we have done in previous years. Before students really entered the building, we had an entire school year built in a couple days, building a massive schedule, sending out welcome letters, students getting their schedules in the mail. Things that we really brought forth in the summer school process 2 years ago, we continue to do. We also fine-tuned our staff. We brought on some new staff members that I could really be proud of that have done some incredible things that you're going to see in this report. So without further ado, I just want to talk about some passing rates with courses and then also some Regents results from this past year. This year is really a consolidation of the report that I sent out at the midway point through August when summer school had completed. It illustrates the difference between students enrolled from overall POB and Bethpage, and then it isolates as well the students in just POB and their passing and failing rates. So you can see that, it gives you each discipline. You have grade levels 9 through 12, represented. You know, this year we did not have any students that took advantage of the English 9 course, but the other courses we did. Overall, what you're going to see from this report is a lot of positivity, a lot of students taking advantage of course credit recovery through the summertime, and you will see that continually through the next couple slides. Our enrollment, you could see for social studies, a little bit stronger than it was for English, and science, for some reason this year, our science didn't take off. We didn't see the need or the demand on the side for the kids taking the courses, but as you'll see in further slides, there were a lot of students that took advantage of taking the Regents exam. You know, it's one thing that during summer school leading that program, you know, you're always thinking about it, is just students that have actually not been successful in the course to get an opportunity to take it again. But it's really more than that. It's about the students taking the Regents exams, but it's about also the students that didn't get the grade that they wanted to get during the course of the school year. They show up in droves really to take advantage of that opportunity. So there really is multiple facets to the program. And let's see here. You know, just to finish up with the Scholastica results for grades through 12 for the high school level, we had some strong numbers of students that attended the program for math. Again, successful. We only really had one failing grade for an overall final grade for a high school student. We had, you know, small population of interest with the health and the phys ed to make up for course credit. And you will see for middle school, we had some strong numbers there as well. And for the most part, almost a, you know, 100% passing rate, which is happy to report. You know, teachers do a phenomenal job in really meeting the needs of students. Before any student steps foot in the building, we have IEPs that are reviewed and really summaries put forth to the staff, so they're prepared to meet the needs out of the gate of all the students that enter that building, which is a great thing from POB and also Beth Page. And just a quick note from previous years, that middle school Spanish course has run in the past, but it did not have the opportunity this year because of enrollment and demand. So that really takes care of the Scholastic results, passing rates for the classes. And now we get into Regents results. You know, similar to what I presented on last year, I tried to break up, you know, all the different disciplines to look at it from those that were enrolled in the course, those that were walk-in students, and to see the differences. You know, one of the biggest challenges as leading that program is, you know, we have the resources available for students to come in for Regents Review courses. That really starts halfway through the program. But the biggest challenge is to get those students that are the walk-in from the exams in the seats to be taking advantage of the 11 days of the review that we know that they, you know, intensively need. So that's the biggest challenge. So you see the, you know, the difference in the enrolled in courses, walk-in. But for the most part, you know, things, I'm really proud of the staff. They really worked hard. We had a large population of students that showed up for those review courses, and I know the kids really did the right thing throughout the year. It was very successful. You know, overall, as you can see, the numbers speak for themselves there. And then as we move on, sorry for the small font, I just wanted to consolidate into two slides. You know, Earth Science course did not run, but again, you could see that there were students that showed up for that exam. That was something that they did take advantage of. Living environment, not so much. We did offer both Common Core exams for algebra and for English, and also geometry. One thing that's nice for the upcoming, you know, summertime is that I saw that the state is expanding the Algebra 2 trig regents, so that's an opportunity. You know, there's a couple courses in the summer that really never take off. It's Chemistry 1 because there's no regents exam offered, and Algebra 2 trig's another. So it's going to be another great tool for kids to really make up for things and try to stay on track with things they're not successful for. You know, obviously I like perfection. That's what I strive for, but you know, I think that I'm very proud of the work that the students and the staff did over the course of the 2 months in the summer. You know, and just to summarize, you know, one of the things I could be proud of is how, you know, how different kids could be in the summertime. You know, you see one picture of students during the course of the school year. These kids come ready to do what they need to do to graduate. They do what they need to do to stay on track and get back successful in the school year. And it's impressive to see the staff that supports them throughout. There's a lot of work to be done from the first week in July to the, you know, second or third week in August. And they're there really each and every day doing, giving it their all. You know, 125 students had credit recovery. That's amazing. Now we had 109 Regents exams that were administered, graded, opportunities for kids, whether it was something they weren't successful at during the course of the year or if it was something that they wanted to get a better grade at. And the part that really makes me proud is that the students that were not successful to meet those criteria for graduation in June, the four students, they did what they needed to, whether it was taking two courses, taking one course, taking a Regents exam. All four students for us, for our district, that were in the boat to graduate in August, they stepped up and did what they had to do. So they were successful graduates in August, which is very, very impressive. But for the most part, I want to continue for your, you know, thank you for your continued support in that program. It is something that until you're in the trenches doing it, you really don't realize how important and how much of an impression it has on kids. So that's really, that's my report for the summertime.
Board, questions or comments? Amy?
Again, I commend you as well, Chris, on running a terrific program. And, you know, the last bullet says it all with those four students eventually graduating in August. I mean, that's, you know, that's why you do it.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you mentioned the Algebra 2 trig. So the state is, in all their wisdom, decided they made a mistake. So now they'll be offering it in August. But what about chemistry? I don't know. Maybe Mr. Murray's here. Is chemistry an issue? Is that something that we should be championing? Up in Albany that, you know, and fighting for our kids, because does that tend to be an issue that they don't receive credit during the school year in chemistry that we should be fighting for in August? Or?
I haven't experienced that.
Okay.
I would concur with that. I don't think there's that strong of a need. I think with Algebra 2 trig, you know, it's one of those make or breaks. They're either going to do it or they're not going to do it at all to try to make up for it. But chemistry, I don't see that as well.
And the middle school, I noticed from last year, this year, the middle school enrollment increased a little bit.
Yeah.
And mostly due to math, it seemed. But, you know, is that a trend? Is that something that we should be watching?
You know, absolutely. I think there's a concern. The biggest thing for me is numbers. You know, when you go into summer school registration, you don't know what you're going to get. Obviously, you hope for strong numbers as far as to be able to the opportunity to support kids. But you see things vary, whether it's differences between the two districts, differences on the middle school level. But that's something I want to continue to monitor to try to figure out why there is that case. You know, the factor that goes in sometimes in the numbers as well is, you know, what other opportunities did the students and the families have in their plans for the summertime, that shifts the numbers significantly. So, but we will be definitely keeping an eye on that, and I'm going to try to drill down and figure out what I can do in my own building to try to lessen the numbers of students that get to summer school, for sure.
Thank you.
You got it.
Great job. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, that brings us to public participation. District Policy 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others could be in some way violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open.
Natalie Drebsky, 6 Presidential Drive East, Plainview. Tonight I'm here strictly to say thank you to Mr. Murray for caring enough to bring up the closed campus situation. The closed campus, it's late. The whole thing regarding closed campus. 10 years ago, I almost took the life of an 11th grader who was kidding around. She had left school, open campus, and ran behind my car when I was backing out at Dunkin' Donuts. 10 years ago, I got so upset, I spoke to my friends and I said, I'm going to go before the Board of Education and bring this up. And I was attacked. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Come on. They deserve to be able to get out of school once in a while. I am 100% behind a total closed campus. I work for neighboring. It takes me 14 minutes to get to the high school where I work. We have a totally closed campus. Children are safe. The district is not liable. Yes, like Mr. Murray said, that came out of a tragedy, okay? But I'm happy that it's being brought up here now, and anything we can do, I applaud and I appreciate. Thank you so much, and thank you, Mr. Murray.
Okay, That brings us to routine business. Do I have a motion for routine business? Ginger? Evie? Any holds, separations? Discussions? All those in favor? Thank you for the prompting. She's always a tutor. Okay, unfinished business. Amend policy 3270, public use of school facilities. Do I have a motion? Debbie? Evie? Discussion? I have a little discussion. The main reason we put this on was it was pointed out, I believe, by Amy and Mrs. Pierno that we had listed John F. Kennedy High School as available to the Red Cross, but being the work we're doing at POB Middle School, that's where we're going to have that be done. And so we're moving that over to middle school where we're having the generators and the space and for the people and all that. But one of the things I know while we were talking about the bond, oftentimes we said, you know, what's our policy as far as use for facilities, and can we, you know, rent out our an auditorium to a school group or to a dance recital company or whatever. And I, in reading this over, which, you know, I guess I should have read when we were having those discussions, but at least I read it now, it appears we really have that in place, you know. And so, you know, I think the table said, I mean, unless we're going to change this policy, it clearly says that we can rent the facility. So just wanted to bring that up as a point. Correct, at our discretion. Emily?
One question I had, my mind went to a similar place, but I'm looking at the clause in italics that we have here. Is it up? Do people have?
Yeah, I don't know.
The additional Yodo education law allows school facilities to be used by profit-oriented organizations for holding social, civic, and or recreational meetings and entertainments. It says it only permits this class of use provided such meetings, entertainments, and uses shall be non-exclusive and open to the general public. So I'm just wondering, I mean, does that mean you can buy tickets, right? It's not just going to be to parents or something? I just...
Open to the public.
Open to the public.
Okay. So a dance recital would fit into this, is all I'm saying. Mm-mm. Okay.
I'm doing this from memory, but I believe in the regulation there's a nonprofit status that needs to be checked during it. So there'd be a test there.
That refers to this 414 of the education law, which is in there. But you do have a regulation that implements this policy, so you'd want to look at it together with your regulation, which requires, I think, certain membership community group membership of community residents. I'm doing it from memory. I apologize, but I know you.
Perhaps
have
you guys could just forward that to all of us, and we can look it over.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yep. That sounds like a good idea.
Cool. New business, permission to circulate policy 3210, visitors to the school. Do I have a motion? Ginger? Debbie? Discussions? All those in favor? Just to circulate it, cool. Next, we have acceptance of recommendations for PE grading guidelines. Do I have a motion? Evie? Ginger? Discussions?
Well, I support what the physical education teachers are looking for, and Mr. Braco, I think that through no fault of their own, probably more so the board's fault, we haven't acted on it before the school year started, so I'm having a little problem with raising my hand for it in mid-year and think that it's something that we should consider for September of 2015.
I just had a question. I wanted to know what the superintendent was recommending.
I support the request. You have to remember that this has come before the board in its exact, nothing's been changed since last year. the request from the board. I mean, we've brought it to the board twice. The request from the board was that we had the conversation with the curriculum committees and all the various committees, that you wanted to be sure that there was no opposition. But this policy was presented in June to be going in effect in September, and the board asked that we have further discussions with, but there were no changes that came out of it. So because of that, I would fully support the policy as is. Yeah, for now.
To effect in
right.
the second semester.
Yes,
in
right.
the second semester.
And it doesn't go into the students' cumulative average
no, it
this
does,
year.
Not for
so
this year.
That,
so
that right. It's just it goes on transcript,
the
but it does
grade.
Not go into
right.
the cum. And I think that's an important component
right.
to
the
implementing
year,
this
right.
idea.
Any further discussion? All those in favor? All those against? Discussions? We'll go back.
Yeah,
discussion.
Sorry. I know when Mr. Braco presented on this, I don't know if it was last week or the week before or the week before that, or I know we've had meetings every week.
Last week.
But my understanding was that it wasn't to be implemented. I mean, I had asked specifically about if it was going to be for this year, and he said this year that they could still do it even for this semester, though. And I just want to make it very clear beforehand, because he did specifically say they could do it for this semester. If we're talking about second semester, I think that's a different... But I think the way that it was presented was for right now,
for this
semester.
He would like to have it for this year, because we have not posted it.
So I don't know what we're voting on, which is really what my hesitation is.
Right. It's possible to do it for first semester, because no grades have been posted yet. The quarter ends around Thanksgiving, so the first quarter... is Thanksgiving, and we haven't posted
right.
anything.
So, I mean, my hesitation in terms of voting was I didn't know exactly what we were voting on to say whether we're going to do it right now or we're going to wait until second semester. So what's is the motion to accept it as is so that it goes right now, so in a couple of weeks they're going to put it in and it's going to be on the transcript, or is the motion to amend it to start it in the second semester? Whoever made the motion... I guess. Right.
I mean, I would be comfortable going with second semester at this point, given where we are. I'd be comfortable doing that. But to delay it, I'm just wondering what that would look like from the high school's perspective if you do that, if you do second semester. Transcript will have pass-fail first quarter and then a grade second. I mean, first, I don't know what that looks like in the transcript, because the transcript has one grade for the year. It doesn't have two grades, right? Mr. Murray, can you help me? I don't know what it is. When you have a course, you don't have the four-quarter grades on a transcript. You have one grade on a transcript for the year.
But, I mean, I'm looking at the report, right?
Yeah. Yes, please.
The course comes to an end, the semester course.
Oh, so, okay, so.
Oh,
okay, then I'll be fine. I'll be fine with the second semester. Okay, so there are two entities then. Okay, all right, that's fine.
But if I may, when Mr. Braco presented, he did present it, as Seth was saying, as for this semester coming forward. So
I hear him, but the board isn't comfortable mm-hmm. given the fact that we're halfway through the first quarter. And I'll be comfortable with the second. Yeah. I'm comfortable with the second semester. Right. And frankly, there are some teachers who have not posted to the gradebook yet, because we're trying to work out some problems with gradebook. So for parents who are, and this came up at the PTA meeting, parents who are trying to monitor grades, they have nothing to monitor. So if, as in all the other semester courses. So we haven't worked out those issues for gradebook. So I am very comfortable recommending that we start second semester.
So the motion is going to be to start the recommendations okay. for PE grading lines effective second semester.
Right. So we could do the proper notification.
All those in favor? All those opposed? There you go. You got that? It's good. Next, we have establishment of lead agency and classification of action SECRA. Do I have a motion? Heavy? Seth, you want to explain a little bit what that is, Mr. Ruff?
Sure. This evening, we've been talking about the last few meetings is for the board's consideration to adopt a bond referendum. There's two steps that need to take, actions that need to occur first. One is this one, which is designating ourselves as the lead agency. And we did contact the involved agencies, primarily that's State Education Department. They're the ones who issue our permits, and they had no objections to the board serving as the lead agency. To make a SECRA determination, which is related that this work will have a minimal impact, or, if any, on the environment. So there are two steps to take place before we consider the bond referendum. This is step one.
All those in favor? Motion for step two, determination of significance, SECRA. Emily, Ginger, discussion? All those in favor? Great. And now we go to the resolution of the Plainview Old Bethpage Central School District, New York, calling a special district meeting to authorize the expenditures of monies for school purposes and the levy of a tax therefore, the bond referendum, which was read by Emily earlier. Do I have a motion? Ginger? Emily? Discussions? Just, I want to thank everyone who participated in the process, the bond committee, the Brian, your staff, of course, the BBS and their crew, and all our stakeholders, and thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, the audit committee, the bond committee, yeah. All those in favor? There we go.
Next we have budget calendar 2015-16.
Oh,
gosh.
Debbie.
Oh, my God.
Emily, and
that schedule is just basically the schedule of when the budget meetings will be rolling back. And any other further discussions we need for that, Ryan, at this point? All those in favor? Motion for field trips. Seth, Debbie, discussions? All those in favor? All right, we thank everyone. Motion to go into, right?
I just a reminder that bond presentations will be taking place in all the at the PTA meetings, so we can further explain what the bond will mean for each building. And we follow the district, the PTA calendar.